So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Music or anything is a knowledge dissemination tool, especially when people aren't getting that from school. He says it's pimp, but what he talks about is alternating the pleasure and pain.
Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Accolades Conversation Series, in which I talk to some of my favorite artists about who or what they would recommend me checking out. Make sure to subscribe to our channel or hit the like button. MC Paul Barman released his debut EP, It's Very Stimulating on Word Sound, in 2000s. It was produced by Prince Paul. His first studio album, Polleluja, was released on Coup d'Etat in 2002. He released his second studio album, Thought Balloon Mushroom Cloud, on House Husbands in 2009, toured with Blacklicious, and taught a hip-hop class to high school kids at the Bank Street College of Education. In 2018, he released Echo Chamber, his first studio album since 2009's Thought Balloon Mushroom Cloud, on Mellow Music Group. It included production from MF Doom, Questlove, and Mark Ronson, as well as guest appearances from Open Mike Eagle and Master Ace. I spoke to Paul about Iceberg Slim, also known as Robert Beck, born in Chicago in 1918 and was initiated into the life of a pimp at age 18. He briefly attended the Tuskegee Institute, but dropped out to return to the streets of Southside, where he remained pimping until he was 42. After several stints in jail, he decided to give up the life and turn to writing. Slim folded his life into the pages of a 7-book based on his life. Catapulted into the public eye, Slim became a new American hero, known for speaking the truth, whether that truth was ugly, sexy, rude, or blunt. He published 6 more books on his life, and Slim died at age 73 in 1992, one day before the Los Angeles riots. If you are into my illustrations, this Accolades series started as an illustration book, which you can still get on craterecords.be. This is what Paul had to add.
Every artist I've ever been interested in fits your description. If I'm really being honest with myself, I stopped listening to Nirvana when they blew up because I'm just kind of a contrarian that way, searching for the underdog, right? I'll never forget the kid at summer camp who introduced me to Nirvana before Nevermind came out. He was the one who turned me on to Fugazi and Cypress Hill. You know, Fugazi was brilliantly able to control their kind of underground status. And I would hate to say it's all just like branding strategy, but like I would also hate to be dishonest with myself. It's all mushed together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that being said, I have so many people who come to mind. A lot of my collaborators fit the bill. Celestophone, who produced all of A Year of Octobers by Youngman. Celestophone, who is a brilliant young West Coast producer who hit me up on Bandcamp and started by asking for verses from both Barman and Youngman. And then it just blew into a full-fledged COVID collaboration that really gave me a place to put all the bottled up madness. Mm-hmm. And even some discovering some positivity through that. And his sonics skills, just really, really sophisticated. And then there's DJ Memory Man, who's like a brother of mine and has a lot of production on Echo Chamber and my mixtapes. And, you know, he's one of the very few who is capable of making hip hop without samples. No matter how many say they sample because they want to, not because they need to. And then there's, I reread your email more closely. Have you heard the Iceberg Slim record, Reflections? I think I bought it in Bristol. And it was one of those times where I hit the record store looking for it, and there it was.
No, I actually never heard of it. So this is good.
Have you heard of Iceberg Slim?
No.
One of the great geniuses of American letters. You know, Chappelle referenced his book, Pimp, as a sort of underworld capitalist tragic manifesto, but actually, that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about a later book. I must be thinking of The Naked Soul of Iceberg Slim. So Pimp is an unbelievable read that is like a single volume and reads from, you know, front to back. The Naked Soul of Iceberg Slim, I don't want to say it's even better. It's really different. It's more like vignettes. So a lot of his books are like short stories, and a lot of his books are like novels. This is sort of like the short story version of a memoir. So those are the only two I know of that are memoir. The rest are like filthy, brilliant novels. And they're a little bit dangerous. Like, you can find yourself being amazed by the language, but feeling really rotten inside, because he's trying to make a point. And it's all tied in with the history of rap, because what were known as prison toasts was when you would be bragging in prison with a lot of swagger, but inevitably the tragic downfall would happen. Otherwise, you're not telling the story at a fancy hotel bar. And his voice and his cadence and the music on his record Reflections and the writing in all of his books, he's not just underknown and yet highly influential American artist. Ice-T borrowed his name from him. If you hear some of Ice-T's like less boom bap songs, you'll hear he's just doing the same thing in terms of the high life and the downfall. And then what happened was a lot of rap songs lost the downfall part. It lost some storytelling and some consequences. You know what I'm saying? So he's one of my favorites. And, you know, when I do my cool little workshops, and I'm always hungry to do more of them, maybe I should do one at your record store. That is cool to be an illustrator, record store owner. See, like, that's the thing. Like, I've always been attracted to not just hip hop and punk stuff. I've always had my eye on whoever could kind of cross genre, and the people who find the sort of inspired and conceptual linkages between so-called genres. Like, that's very, very attractive to somebody hungry to find their medium, or just trying to figure out how to get the juju beans out, so to speak. So like John Sayles, right? He writes novels and screenplays. Maybe that's not the best example, because he's not like a painter, as far as I know. So in The Naked Soul of Iceberg Slim, he tells the story that Chappelle references in one of his famous monologues.
Yeah.
And he talks about...
I actually found it here on the Wikipedia as well. It says it's actually Pimp.
He mentions Pimp in the comedy, but it's not Pimp. If you go back to... You would think, with Chappelle's stature, that if he mentions an author like that, that there would be articles about this, following up about what he was referencing. This is why music or anything is a knowledge dissemination tool, especially when people aren't getting that from school. Mm-hmm. So he says it's Pimp, but what he talks about is alternating the pleasure and pain and using that as a means of control. And when he talked about why did he walk away from his $50 million deal, that was the pill that the pimp gave the whore. And that was alternated with whipping her with an unfolded wire hanger. I mean, I can't speak for him, but he's talking about the pleasure and pain being alternated, even if the pleasure part is irresistible. Even still, you know, I was so tired, but I had a feeling if I walked around in the sun would kind of charge me up, and it's working. Yeah, I had just happened to buy a couple of these Iceberg Slim books years earlier at a now dead bookstore called Coliseum Books, which was near Bryant Park at the time, and before that was somewhere else in Manhattan. And I was like really surprised, because I knew which story he was talking about. And when you think about even the paycheck that comes into your direct deposit, right? After 2 weeks of doing something you didn't want to do, let's say. Like the pleasure and pain, like the principle of alternating until like you kind of stop questioning the system you're in, or kind of give up the fight, right? That's what he's talking about. Iceberg Slim, he also did something this is going to be an incongruous juxtaposition. He's really good at verbing words. Calvin and Hobbes mentions verbing words. Like, I don't know, the one that comes to mind may not be the best example is like, her blood crimsoned the streets. Like he was very floral with his language and inventive, but also clear. Like anytime he broke a rule, you never wondered what he meant.
So the book that you would recommend is The Naked Soul of Iceberg Slim. That's the one that I should check out first.
No, Pimp is definitely first.
Okay.
The Naked Soul of Iceberg Slim is second. I mean, everything he wrote. But especially his record Reflections. Classic. You know, I never really learned to sing, and I'm obsessed with lyrics. So, of course, I'm, like, collecting any kind of, like, spoken songs. And so Reflections would qualify for that. And also you got to check out Beyond the Sunset by Luke the Drifter, which is the alter ego of Hank Williams. Those are two of my all-time favorite records.
I want to thank MC Paul Barman for this conversation. On next week's episode, I'm talking to DJ Cash Money about Russell Peters. Thanks for listening, watching, or however you check Accolades out. I appreciate the thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe to the program. See you next week.